Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go, and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word today. Many of the songs we sing at Christmas remind us that Christmas is to be happy. Many of the songs that we sing are songs that have joy in their words, and should be bringing joy in our hearts. Along with them, we songs like, It's the most wonderful time of the year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jingle bells. Walking in a winter wonderland. All of these communicate that Christmas is to be a joyous and even trouble-free season. But let me ask you something honestly this morning. Is joyous and trouble-free what you're experiencing this season? Probably not. For some of you, maybe personal problems are keeping you from experiencing the joy of Christmas. For others, you feel like one crisis after another has run you over, with such an avalanche of problems, it makes it really difficult to have a joyful Christmas, to have a satisfying Christmas. Many today are so busy. They work so hard, and often there is no time for sitting around and enjoying Christmas and being joyful. Maybe there isn't anything wrong in your life this morning, but for some reason, you just cannot enjoy Christmas. Maybe Christmas isn't providing the emotional lift that you expected this year. In fact, for some, Christmas is depressing. The world does not look like a winter wonderland, does it? Often, it just looks like winter, dead, cold, lifeless. Disillusionment at Christmas is not an unusual thing. We get so hyped up with expectations about what others may describe as Christmas that often the real thing just doesn't measure up. We become disappointed because the media will build Christmas to be something that life just can't measure. Often, movies will take Christmas and we'll turn it into a comedy. Sometimes Christmas is given a fairy tale fantasy type of an aura. And we look for these things in our own lives and in the things that take place within our lives, and we just don't find them. And we're not satisfied. So what can you do to avoid disillusionment? How can you improve upon joy this Christmas? Well, the answer is found in the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. The answer we have already read, we've already covered. The wise men from the east saw a star. And that star indicated the birth of the new king in Israel, King Jesus. Wanting to honor him with gifts, they set out on a journey following the star to find this newborn king. From the attitudes of these wise men and the events that surrounded their journey, we see how they can raise our level of joy at Christmas. That's right, if we pay attention to them, if we pay attention to their behavior, if we pay attention to what they offered, what they brought, we can experience a satisfying Christmas. To do that, we must answer three questions. And to answer those three questions, we're going to come back into the text this morning. So notice with me first the question, what do you seek? Your joy at Christmas is directly related to what you personally seek from Christmas. What is it I want to get out of Christmas? Ask yourself that question today. It is Christmas Day. By the time you're listening to this message, you've already opened your Christmas gifts. Some started last night and continued on into this morning. Maybe there is a few left under the tree for this afternoon. But what is it really that you want to get out of Christmas? What is it that would make Christmas wonderful and satisfying? Is it snow? Maybe all of the family being together and being happy. Being together as a family and being together as a family and happy are two entirely different things. Many families have already met, and as happens every Christmas, often there are arguments, fighting, division, frustration. Occasionally you hear of a happy family gathering. Maybe a happy family gathering is something you were looking forward to this Christmas. Maybe a feeling of defining and understanding the holiday spirit, the Christmas spirit. Maybe getting out of Christmas is finding the right present to give. Maybe searching for the right present to receive to satisfy your understanding of what you want to get out of Christmas. Maybe you have something special that you want to receive. The problem with all of these is that they will leave you disappointed, because often you're depending upon other people and how other people are going to perceive things, or how other people are going to react to things, or what other people are going to be able to give. Because it involves people, it will be disappointing. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been disappointed at Christmas? Maybe today you're disappointed. When you were disappointed by Christmas because it didn't deliver what you thought it would, how did you handle it? How did you take care of that situation? It is in our own expectations that we look for the wrong thing at Christmas. If we come back to our passage of Scripture, though, and if we look at the Magi, and if we look at them and see what they were looking for at Christmas, it can increase our joy at Christmas, and it can even have us looking at the right thing. It can take our perspective from the wrong thing at Christmas and put it on the right thing. What is it that they are actually looking for? Well, verse 2 tells us, they came to Jerusalem and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They were seeking Jesus. This Christmas, are we seeking Jesus? Are we seeking Jesus? Or are we seeking maybe some of our own expectations? What are we seeking today? Are we seeking an opportunity to worship Jesus? Or are we seeking an opportunity to be lifted up ourselves? Are we seeking an opportunity to be lifted up by other people? Maybe for other things. Maybe we're looking for the praise of someone else. Often we go into a holiday season and we're looking to impress someone in the family. We're looking to impress someone at work. We're looking to impress someone in the church. We're looking to impress or make an impression in the community. Why don't we take Jesus and worship Him at Christmas? That is what we need to be looking for and expecting. We need to be expecting an experience of worship. And that begins right here today. That begins in your heart, wherever you may be. An experience of worship takes the opportunity away from all of the material things and places it upon Jesus this morning. And it places it upon Jesus in order to give us a fresh glimpse of who He was that was born King of the Jews. If we are taking our day and we're dismissing Jesus and we're putting something in place of it, then we're dismissing the opportunity to worship Jesus. And if we miss the opportunity to worship Jesus, then we're going to be dissatisfied with Christmas. But on the other hand, if we take the experience of worshiping Jesus and if we embrace it in our heart, if we hold on to Jesus in our heart and in our lives, then we are never going to be dissatisfied with Christmas or any other day of the year, because we will be carrying and holding on to and clinging tight to Jesus. Are we looking for Jesus? Well, the second question, where are we looking? You see, the joy at Christmas can be directly related to where we look. We learn from the Magi that there are wrong places to look and there are right places to look at Christmas. They started by looking in the wrong places. Did you notice that? They looked where their own human reasoning said to go. The star indicated the birth of the new king in Israel, and the Magi went to the kings and went to where kings would normally be born. They went to the palace, and they met Herod. They went to the palace, they met Herod, they told Herod the story of who they were, why they were there, what they were looking for. But that was a mistake. When Herod heard about the birth of the new king, Herod jealously sought to destroy him. You see, Herod, when he heard the word king, he thought someone was being born to take over his throne and to put him aside, and he did not want that to happen. This was a little baby that was, in his mind, was going to be taking over his place, and he was wanting to get rid of that king. He was wanting to get rid of that at the beginning. So the Magi, when they were looking for Jesus, they went first to the wrong place. Many of us today began looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Maybe today you're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Maybe you're looking for Jesus in a tree. Maybe you're looking for Jesus in a wrapping paper and a box. Maybe some type of a special gift. Maybe you're looking for Jesus in a bottle of whiskey. Maybe you're looking for Jesus in food or in fellowship. Maybe you're looking for Jesus in all of these other places that are around the world this morning, and things that are filling the immaterialism and filling our lives full of technology. And in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. But when we are looking for Jesus inside of these things, we're going to come up short. The only place we're going to find Jesus is in His Word, our Bible. The Magi looked in the right place when they looked to God. When they looked to hear what the prophets had said. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. When they listened to the Word of God and they followed the Word of God and they cling to the Word of God led them to the King. If we want to find Jesus, we need to look for Jesus in the right place, and we need to look for Him within His Word. All of the food and the fellowship and the Christmas trees and the carols and the presents and the fellowship, all of that is great and all of that is wonderful, but it will never lead us to Jesus unless we are clinging to the Word of God and unless we are letting the Word of God take precedence in our personal lives. This morning, wherever you may be, you can take the Word of God and you can allow it to point you to Jesus today. You can allow it to take you into a heart of worship to Jesus Christ, and you can look for Him within His Word. And let me encourage you to begin that today, and going on into 2017, don't look away from it. Continue to work with and cling to and wrap your arms around God's Word. Find yourself a Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, a Bible-teaching church. Find it. Get fellowship in it. Immerse yourself in God's Word. Look for Jesus in all the right places, and those right places are within His Word. Well, the last question that we have to answer from our text this morning is, what do you give? Your joy at Christmas is directly related to how you give, not what. We live in a day today where credit will buy the most elaborate gifts that we can think of. Credit will buy new automobiles and new houses. Credit will buy new jewelry, art, artifacts. We are a very prosperous society here in America. We have the money to buy just about anything we want. So it's not what we give, but the question lies in how we give. What do you give of the proper heart? See, the Magi came to Jesus bearing gifts. And the gifts that they gave were entirely appropriate. You see, they gave gold, which was a gift that was fit for a king. And by giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus was and is the King. When we give of our wealth, when we give of our resources, the money that we have, and we give it to encourage and to enhance and to carry on the work of God's Word around the world, when we give it in the appropriate reasons and for the appropriate purposes, it does lift up and glorify Jesus as King. Then they gave frankincense, which was a gift for a priest. This was incense that the priest used in the temple, and by giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus was a priest, the only one who could bring us to God. Do we acknowledge in our life and in our hearts this morning that our salvation comes only from Jesus? Now think about that. I hear often folks talk about, and I realize this is just, you know, can be of the way that it is worded. When I came to Jesus, when I asked Jesus, think about that. If Jesus is the only one that can bring us to God, where do we fit in? If Jesus is the only one that can bring us to God, pardon me, Where do I come into play? I have no righteousness in and of myself. When I was lost and undone, when I was moving around in this world in sin, I was separated from God, and were it not for grace, and grace touching my heart, and grace moving in my heart and applying in my heart the faith needed to accept Jesus when He called me to come to Him, I could not have accepted Him. It is because of Jesus that I have the ability to accept Jesus. It is because of grace I can reach out and I can claim Him to be the one who brought God. Jesus is truly the priest, the high priest of my life as a born-again Christian. If you are a born-again Christian, Jesus is the high priest of your life. The frankincense that was given by the Magi lifted Him up as being the high priest. The frankincense that is given shows His high priestly office. Is that high priestly office present in your life? How is it displayed? How does the world see Jesus in your life? Do they see it through your giving? Does the world see it through Him being the high priest that has brought you to God? There's one more. What about the myrrh? Gift, a gift for the dead. Myrrh was a fragrant ointment that was used to anoint a body before burial. By giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus had come to die for the sins of the world. What we give for Jesus, does it acknowledge His death, burial, and resurrection for the sins of humanity? What do we give? Do we give testimony of who Jesus is in our life? We ought to give appropriate gifts this Christmas as well. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about material gifts. I'm not talking about what we have given our spouses or what we have given our children or our grandchildren or our parents. I'm talking about something much more important. We ought to give the gift of our love and the kindness to our friends and our family. We ought to give the gift of Jesus. We ought to give the gift of Jesus and the impression that He has in our heart and in our life, and we ought to be giving a biblical impression. That means we need to be examining our walk with God, our walk through Jesus Christ. And we ought to be examining it in such a way as to ask the question, does it glorify God in these three ways? Does it glorify God through the giving of my personal wealth and resources? Does it glorify God by lifting Him, Jesus, up as the high priest of my life? Does it glorify God by His death, burial, and resurrection being shown through my life and through the deeds that I have? Do I love others as God loved me through Jesus Christ? We ought to give the gift of our help to those who are hurting. There are plenty out there that are hurting. Too often we are willing to give if we can judge them first. Too often we're willing to give if we can determine who deserves what. Now, I'm not saying that we need to just throw caution to the wind and not worry about what has happened or how it has happened. But in reality, what would you and I be like today as Christians if Jesus would have asked if we deserved salvation? How many of us that are saved today are saved because we deserve it? And how many of us are saved because the gift of salvation was freely given to us? There are people out there who are hurting today, and the reasons are many. I'm not going to get into that, but the reasons are many. Some of them are of their own making. Some aren't. But the truth is they're hurting. And by reaching out and trying to rub a little bit of balm on that physical hurting, we may open up a door to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, which may touch their heart with Jesus being the priest, the high priest of their eternity, and would show them the resurrection of Christ and the way to salvation. How much is it worth to be able to put the good news of Jesus Christ in front of a hurting person? How much? How much is too much? Well, lastly, we ought to give the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. And there isn't one listening to this message this morning that hasn't been hurt and hasn't been hurt deeply. But in order for us to realize forgiveness, we must give it as well as receive it. We have no problem receiving forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, but we often have a hard time of giving forgiveness to those who have hurt us. If we can't give forgiveness to those who have hurt us, how are we going to witness and testify of the goodness of God and the goodness of Jesus Christ and His salvation in our hearts and lives and how it can affect their hearts and lives? If we can't forgive the worldly material hurts that have been placed upon us down here so that Jesus can forgive the sin that is keeping them separated from Him. The picture of the cross. The horizontal arm reaches from person to person so that the grace of God can reach from heaven down. Forgiveness works both ways. We must receive it from Christ so that we can share it with others, whether they deserve it or not. It isn't about asking the question of who deserves what. It's about asking the question of what is expected of me. Well, these gifts are the gifts that will result in a joyful and a meaningful Christmas. When you think of these questions, think of yourself. What do you give? Where do you look? And what exactly do you seek at Christmas? What are you giving for Christmas this year? Why not consider giving yourself? Give your time to your family. Give your compassion to those that are hurting. Give your forgiveness to those who have isolated themselves from you. Give your heart to Jesus. If we can take the thought of giving, and we can embrace it with our heart, then I can promise you, based upon God's Word, when you look for the right thing and you look in the right places and you give the right gift, you will find joy in Christmas. Let's pray.